Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers!
It is I, Erica, and Bo, and we're super excited to be here today. So we thought, though, travelers, you know, we try to not do a lot of talking up front because of that, but we all just sort of went through the storm, so I wanted to give an update. Me and Mark and Carrie we're all in Western North Carolina, so we are some of the people that saw the effects. We're not the only people, but we wanted to let you know. So it's been unfortunately, pretty devastating up here. We're fine. Both of our houses are fine. We suffered power outages, and we still have some cell phone outage and stuff in some of the areas. We're doing great. There are a lot of areas that were hit very, very hard, all the way from Florida through Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee. There are a lot of changes and stuff like that. So one thing I would say, travelers, if you really want to support, look for reputable charities that are supporting the relief efforts up here, especially in the Asheville area. The roads into Asheville are still pretty much down and blocked. With that said, we've been talking about the release of The Dark Side of the Smoky Mountains, which is a book that is almost complete and ready for pre-order from your Erie Travels team. However, we're going to pause on the pre-order. It probably will not go up till December now, to be honest, because there are a lot of communities that we talk about and areas that we talk about that have been affected, and we actually don't know the state of those areas completely. We really like talking about places you can go visit. So, travelers, I know you've been anticipating it. We've talked a lot about it at conventions, but please just be in support of the Erie Travels team as we navigate our sort of our new world on this. So we'll keep you updated. And as soon as it's out, you'll have news. I will say that we are presently working on The Dark Heart of the Appalachians, which is, you know, up in the Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia area. And with that, me and Bo can talk about going to Mothman. So Bo, let's start with what you thought of your first Mothman festival.
You guys told me, hey, Bo, it's going to be very crowded. And I believed you, but it's one thing to hear about it and another thing to see it. Because I think they had, what, like 30,000 people there this year? And it was nuts. And it's like not a big area where it takes place. It's like 4 square blocks or something. Yeah. And it's just wild.
And we have the amazing author Paige Lavoie with us. And our booth placement, just for anybody who wants to go, one, if you want to go to this, and it's amazing, there are a lot of people, but you need to go see this whole thing. But our placement is right behind the right butt cheek. We got to meet so many travelers that came to visit us. We also got to take a little trip. Me, Bo, and Paige got to go see the domes where the first encounter with Mothman happened. And by the way, that whole area is super creepy. When we say domes, like, I don't think I understood it. It's literally a cement dome that's in place with one doorway, huge, but where they used to store munitions.
And it was so dark inside of them. There's no lights at all. My phone did not even touch any of the shadows in the not corners, because it's a dome, but it was so loud in there every time we talked. I feel like you were really creeped out.
I could feel things that were, there's a lot of negative energy there, but I could definitely feel some stuff. And we were not alone, and not because there were other people there. We were not alone in that. So I did a cute little video, but I was like, nope, getting out of here right now, because I could feel it. And it's true with some of the buildings in Point Pleasant. I will say the new golf course at the Mothman Museum is so much fun. And if you want just a good, fun day of outing, going there, not during Mothman Festival, because it's very, very busy, but going there, getting to play the mini golf. There are a ton of just amazing little shops. There's great coffee shops there.
And the museum. The museum is really cool. Paige and I spent like an hour in there, and it's like just one little room. But there's so much stuff to look at, so much stuff to read. We had a really good time in there.
Absolutely. And then we got to meet, Mark had met her previously, but we got to meet Linda Sigmund, who's the last remaining witness. She was the child that was picked up by Mothman. She's amazing. She's going to come on the show here shortly. So we're excited to have her. But we had a great, great overall adventure. You know, Carrie was there. So it was, as I like to keep putting it, the Charlie's Angels of the Erie travel team. It was great. So we had a fun picture from that, lots of excitement, but we're doing well here in Western North Carolina. If you can support, find reputable charities to send your support to. We really need the help up here. It's true in Florida and Georgia too, wherever it's applicable to you. We as humans need to reach out, help each other, because it was a really big unpredicted storm. I saw this graph that showed the anticipated rain count, and the anticipated rain count that hit Asheville happens once every 1,000 years scientifically. So like,
it was a crazy amount of rain. Like it was like something like tons. Yeah, it was measured in tons.
I think it got up to 40 inches. Like it's, anyway, way more. But definitely reach out, help out. Travelers, we love seeing you. Thank you so much for coming to visit us at Mothman. We are excited because we'll be at Scarefest here shortly. And so we're actually doing one of our live podcasts at Scarefest. So I'm excited to do that and talk about some of the lesser known cryptids, and some of them are fun, and they're going to be featured in some of the books coming up. But we have a bunch of really fun shows. Me and Bo planned out all the shows that are coming up. We have some amazing guests. We have a live one of our favorite ghost movies, because we're in spooky season. So we get to talk about that with J. Michael Roddy. Super exciting. But today, Bo, I get to learn some folklore from you. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about Virginia's very own witch, Grace Sherwood.
Ooh, I love witches. I love witches. So, okay, I just got goosebumps all over. You can see that. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what's coming, but I feel like I'm not ready for it. But talk to me. Tell me about Grace. So who is she?
So Grace was born in 1660. She lived in Princess Anne County, Virginia, on a place called Pungo.
What is, which is Princess Anne? What part of the state is that in?
It's near like Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach area.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's like, I'm like, never eat. So east. It's like east on the coast. I used to live down that way for college. I lived in Newport News, which is right there. And we went to Virginia Beach a lot, which is sort of where this story takes place, because they've changed the names of places. Things got moved around. But I figured I could share a fun Virginia Beach fact with you.
No, I'd love that.
All right. So in Virginia Beach, it is illegal to curse on the boardwalk or on the beach.
Wait a minute. Okay. I feel like you're telling me this because I'm going to have an immediate problem with this situation.
Yeah. So
can you repeat this again? Because what I heard was Erica shouldn't go to these areas because she's going to be arrested. Is that correct?
As someone who also has the same problem with words, I also should not go there. But I have many times. And what's really funny about it is there's signs everywhere. Every block has a sign that says, don't cuss because you're going to get a fine.
What is the fine, out of curiosity?
Oh my gosh, I wish I knew, but it's no less than $100. It's I think they're just trying to make some money. Between that and the cost to park anywhere, they're just probably
like this is going to go downhill fast for me. I feel like this is going to end very, very badly. So I don't love that at all. Not at all.
Yeah, we might want to keep you away from that beach. We have other beautiful beaches in Virginia that don't have that rule.
So I will just say for travelers out there, if you want to sponsor Erica's trip to Virginia Beach to cover my cost of using my normal language. Yeah, so that's fun, you know.
Anyway, I think they're trying to like keep it family friendly, you know, because kids are there in the summer and the boardwalk has a lot of kid shit on it, like carnivals and whatever. See, I would have just gotten a fine. So they don't want like teens or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. So note to self, Erica's not traveling there without a muzzle of some kind because, man, I'm going to be screwed. Is that what happened to our witch friend?
She might have had a little bit of better luck because that's an easy law to say, like, I didn't do that. So before we talk about Grace, we need to talk about the witch trials in Virginia because it doesn't go the same as it did in Salem. So Virginia never had like the witch hysteria that Salem had. We all know the story of Salem, Massachusetts. There was a handful of women who were accused of being witches and executed as a result of it. And one man, yes.
I think it was, gosh, I want to say it was either 17 or 19. Maybe we'll cover some of the Salem, because a lot of people have covered it, but a little bit of it. But what I think a lot of people don't understand is that particular town went a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And then the governor went a little, the governor kind of stepped in a little bit. The people running the provinces went, well, what are you doing? Knock it off. But then there were some rogue bands of people that were doing a lot, because a lot of people don't realize most of the witches were killed by being stones, like being, you know, weighted. And then
so it was like street justice in a way. Like people would just go and wanted to be a part of getting rid of these witches. And I think part of the reason it was different there is because in those court, quote unquote, court cases in Salem, the clergy were involved.
Yeah.
It had a really like religious focus. In Virginia, the clergy were not allowed to be involved in witchcraft cases.
Wow.
So if you were a minister, you couldn't be used as evidence because, you know, clergy. So anything that they would say about the devil and that sort of thing were usually like left off the table.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
So because of that, because the clergy weren't involved, people weren't scared of witches because they thought they were like assistants to the devil or doing his work, but they were a part of folklore and they were scared of them in that way. Like there was a strong folklore focus instead of a religious focus.
No,
which I think is what, would deaden the hysteria a little because there was less tempers that were being, you know, riled up.
Well, and I think it's interesting because if we go, and we'll do future episodes on this, but if you go back through history, medicine women, shamans, these were the people that were talked to before there were doctors and things like, you know what I mean? They tended to have medicinal remedies and things like, and some of it was, you know, whatever based on beliefs and stuff, but it's interesting the religious flip that happened that when it came in with God and stuff like that to different religions, it immediately somehow pushed out these other belief systems that had existed for centuries, right? So, you know, this is something that wasn't like we came to America and we decided to do witchcraft. Like, that's not how that works. So, I don't know. It's bizarre to me, the whole thing, but keep going.
They also in Virginia avoided witchcraft cases because they were divisive. And the burden of proof worked differently than it did in Salem. In Salem, the accused witch had to prove her innocence. In Virginia, the accuser had to prove that the accused was a witch. So it wasn't the victim like trying to defend themselves and be like, I'm not a witch. The accuser had to be like, this person is a witch because of this, this, and this reason.
Wow. Which it should be. Like,
it
should be.
Which,
it should be. You can't just go, I think they're a witch. I think that you have to have a situation where you actually have to prove whatever the hell's going on. You can't just go, they're a witch. But I like that. Okay, so Virginia's set up, cool way. They can't just have witches. I like it. We're going on. But I feel like that didn't work out for our friend that we're discussing here.
It did and it didn't. You'll find out. So most of the witchcraft cases in Virginia throughout the history of, you know, witchcraft cases were acquittals.
Oh.
So no one was made to be guilty, really. And there were no executions of witches. So it definitely did not have the body count that there was in Salem and certain other more Puritan places.
Okay.
So now we're going to get to our friend Grace, who, as I've been describing her to people, because, you know, I've made my husband listen to this whole spiel. I've been calling her a bad bitch because she is. She's the coolest lady I've ever heard of. And I like her so much.
Okay.
So as I said, Grace resided on the eastern coast of Virginia near the beach. Like many women accused of witchcraft, Grace was, you called it, a healer and a midwife. So, you know, because in our society, it changed from, oh, we're doing these like more pagan traditions to it's Catholicism now, and this is what we're doing, and only men can be doctors. That was a point that people had like an issue with her because she was still doing these older practices.
Can I throw in this one thing that I think is really interesting in a way is that the fact is that childbirth, I think it was, I looked at this number and I'm not a scientist, so, but I think it was up until 1963, childbirth was the leading cause of death in women. Like people need to understand that. I know there are women that have gone through sometimes not great, you know, interactions when it comes to childbirth. All of us have different stories. But what I think is really, really interesting is that that is the leading cause of death. So to think back to these times when we didn't have any modern technology, people who were skilled at helping women give birth was huge. So I understand why she did it and all of that stuff. Also, you know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people don't realize on that time too was there was no like sonograms, modern conveniences of going, this is what's wrong with the babe.
And I think that's part of like the stuff that happened in Salem. Like if a midwife helps a woman have a baby and it has like a deformity or something, they're like, oh, it's a devil baby. And this midwife is clearly a witch, you know?
Yeah.
Because they don't have the technology or the wherewithal to understand these sort of conditions because it was before like modern medicine.
Exactly. So let's talk about that for 2 seconds too, is that if there was anything wrong with the baby, which could have nothing to do, they did that previous to that. They thought it was, we talked about on an episode, they thought it was a fairy baby. Remember that? Like,
yeah. You and know, you like put it in a tree.
And if it lived, which it never did, you know, obviously the human part came back. So it's so interesting if you think about the mentality of society at that time was not that there could be something medically or whatever wrong. It was something done wrong by the other people, which is just hysterical if you think about it, right? And not in a good way funny, like bad funny.
Like bad hysteria, not good hysteria. Yeah. And Grace, besides being a healer and a midwife, she also had the audacity to wear pants.
No.
Yes, because she lived on a farm. And when she was working on the farm, she had the audacity to wear pants.
That
how dare she?
Bitch. No.
I know.
That's
so she lived on a farm with her husband, James, and their three children, John, James, and Richard. So much like me, she has three boys and a husband.
Oh my gosh. Are you wearing pants, Bo? What are you thinking?
I am. Shit. So one of the big sources I use for this is the Salem Witch Museum in Massachusetts keeps like a list and a dossier on every accused witch in the United States. So according to them, they found that in documents that Grace was stubborn and spoke up for herself.
Oh my God.
Which is also, how dare she?
Yeah, no, I don't like anything about this human at all.
She doesn't sound just like us or anything.
No, it doesn't sound exactly like us doing the same exact things that we do all the time. Nothing like that.
Listen to the wording here. The first time she is accused of witchcraft is in 1697.
Okay.
The implication is she's going to be accused several times.
Oh, no, I hear that. So the first time she's accused, who accused her? Do we know?
Yes. It was a local farmer. I believe it was a neighbor or somebody nearby. They said that Grace cursed their bull and it died.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what their evidence was. I'm pretty sure they had none because this case does get dropped.
Yeah, no, I would think so, but... So we shouldn't laugh because it was very serious and I'm sure it was a very unpleasant and, you know, thing at the time. And I know if Mark was here that he would say they would probably would have locked her up in Trans-Allegheny. But I think that it is hysterical to think that your bull dies and your response to that was to go accuse a person of witchcraft and go through all the court proceedings, which was not an easy thing to do to kind of prove your rightness. That makes me laugh. So hard just thinking about that that's what the plan was.
And as a farmer, you should know that animals die. That is part of life living on a farm. It happens.
Well, that, and you have no idea what could cause it, but to not go, you know what?
This bitch over here.
Grace is wearing pants, that bitch. Let's send it. I love it. Okay. Okay. Continue on though. Okay. Where are we going?
What was funny about this case is, you know, most people would be like, oh, I got out of this by the skin of my teeth. I'm going to just lay low. Grace was like, no, I'm countersuing. So she countersued the farmer for defamation.
I love her. She is my new favorite.
But unfortunately, that case didn't really go anywhere. There was not enough evidence, I guess. But I mean, he literally said, this bitch killed my bull using her witch powers. You'd think she'd be like, I'm not a witch, thus defamation.
No, and it sounds like she did, but I get it, because at the same time, I'm assuming, because believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying this, is the court sounds so far somewhat reasonable. So her going, well, it's defamation, I suppose it depends on her having to prove what they're doing as well, right? What did they do for her?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. So, okay, continue.
So what we kind of learned from this first case is that suspicion plays a huge part in whether witchcraft cases go to trial. If there's not a certain level of suspicion, it's not going to get to that point, which is why this case got dismissed. There was not enough suspicion that she was a witch, besides this farmer's word, that I don't even know what she was doing to make him suspect. So the court's like, get out of here. I don't want to deal with this. So then in 1698, which is 2 years later, Grace is accused two more times of being a witch.
Oh, this is just silly. Just
the
silly.
The first was also a farmer, because this worked out so great for the previous farmer, who said that she cast a spell on his pigs and his cotton.
Pigs and cotton?
Yes, both. I don't know what the spell did. He didn't say, but I'm assuming it was not going well for his pigs and or his cotton.
Okay.
Maybe there was a blight. And all the cotton was ruined, or maybe his pigs got some sort of illness and they all died. Who knows? But it does sound like this area was having a lot of issues anyway, farming wise, you know, since there's a dead bull, now there's dead pigs and, or assumably possibly dead pigs. And, you know, it's near the coast. I'm sure weather is, you know, weird because as we look, hurricanes, you know, come from that area. And then the most fun, well, not fun, it's actually really messed up, but the most odd accusation came out from the other person who accused her.
Okay, which was
this
what?
This was a woman who accused her. And she said that Grace snuck into her house wearing the disguise of a black cat and mercilessly whipped her.
What?
All I could think about when I was reading this was Krampus. And I'm just imagining Grace with like a whip, just like smacking this woman. And while this case, both of these cases were thrown out, it was not thrown out because of suspicion this time. It was thrown out because Virginia also doesn't allow evidence that is supernatural in origin.
Wow.
So because she turned into a cat and then, you know, came into this lady's house, that's supernatural. It can't count as evidence.
I'm sure of what to say about any of that, if I'm being honest.
And I wonder why it's always something like that. Like she got whipped or beaten, or that seemed to come up a lot in Salem too. Like people being attacked in this very specific way. And I'm not 100% sure why. I think it's a devil related thing.
No, and it, you know, here's the thing too, is I think that it's something that you can do an accusation of where there doesn't have to necessarily be a huge amount of proof. Like a lot of times, that is the inherent situation. Sometimes sad for the accusers is there's ways you can do things to people that you then can't necessarily prove was done to the person, right?
Yeah.
So if it's something that's considered so incredibly heinous that you make the accusation, you know, I say this in the point that I feel like there's a lot of people getting justice right now for things that they've done wrong, especially in the celebrity community. But we do also have sort of a little bit of a cancel culture where if you say these things, even without necessarily proof, and I'm not saying there isn't proof, but you say certain things, a person's screwed that was, you know, done.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very interesting balance. So, well, but okay. So I love that she turned into a cat though. That's
a
huge story for me.
And it's a very much like, it's always cats who are familiars, or you can turn into a cat. You know, the black cats get such a bad rap, and they're usually the best cats.
Well, and it's funny because we talked about this before on an episode. Mark brought it up about the fact that part of the problem with the bubonic plague is they got rid of all the cats because of witchcraft, right? But so there's no.
And then the rats were like.
Yeah.
Party time. Yeah.
Party time. And then they were like, here are the fleas that are carrying the plague that are like, and you know, on and on and on. And then you just kind of go, coo, coo, coo. You guys did such a great job there, you know? Well done.
Yeah.
So, okay. So she gets accused, but she doesn't, because they go, listen, you know, if you're going to say she turned into a witch, we can't do anything with that. Thanks for calling. But
yeah. Thanks for wasting court time.
Yeah, sorry, but we're going to have the hard pass on this approach. Yeah. So I like it. Okay.
So witches, like in general, are often accused of doing something physically to someone. And like you said, a lot of those things you can't prove because, you know, you and I watch a lot of true crime. We know that it's possible to hurt someone without making any marks on their bodies.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
So they are often accused of hitting, choking, whipping, or stabbing with pins.
Stabbing with pins? What? That's exciting.
And I assume it's, you know, stabbing with pins because you can't see that. The puncture wound, like, closes up so quickly that, you know, no one sees it.
Agreed.
Witches were accused of antisocial behavior. And hurting others is sort of like the pinnacle of an antisocial behavior because, you know, you're not fitting in with society. You're trying to hurt other people.
Okay. So That's funny. Yes, because hurting people is frowned upon.
It is.
I think, though, we got to take a quick break. So I need to absorb this. We're going to take a quick break here from our sponsors. And then we're going to dive back into the ridiculousness. And then I want to know how she was a witch. So we're going to pause and we'll be right back.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Shop our huge selection of concrete. From general purpose concrete to specialty sand and mortar mixes, we have what you need to get any job done right. View our entire selection online or in store today and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a 6-part complete book series by Eerie Travels producer Bo Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/Bo_Lake.
Okay, we're back. So... I love her so much. She is one of my new favorite people in the entire world. So go.
All right. So before we get back in the Graces story, we're going to take a little detour and go over some of the really bizarre reasons women were accused of witchcraft. I have a list.
Oh, I love this. Oh, tell me.
We're going to play a game and we're going to figure out which of these means Erica is a witch and we must stone her. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, being stubborn or sharp tongued or having an unfavorable personality.
Oh my gosh. So strike one. So we're
not responding to the question. Are you a witch?
Oh, I think I'd respond to that. So I'm not going to give me a strike there. Cause I would, with profanity. So I'd be fined in Virginia Beach, as we know, but okay, yeah. I can make it through. Next.
Okay. Slamming the door in church.
Oh, I'm going to give me a strike too, because I feel like I'd get mad and do that. Yes. Okay. Strike.
Yeah. Three. Lifting something heavy. There's strike three. I've seen you lift heavy things.
Yes, I lift many boxes of heavy books and stuff. Oh, I'm screwed. Okay, so three strikes. This is not looking good for Erica here so far.
No, it really doesn't.
Okay.
Someone saw something weird happen to or around the accuser.
Okay, strike.
Weird shit happens around you all the time.
Literally daily. So, okay. Strike four or five. Let's go.
And finally, laughing in court.
Oh, I strike five. 5 of 6.
Especially if you're in court for a profanity charge because you cursed on the boardwalk in Virginia Beach.
Or I listed something heavy. Man, I'm screwed. I would have been found guilty of being a witch.
You definitely would have.
I definitely would have.
So after those two incidents where she was accused of hurting the pigs in the cotton and whipping some lady, she sued for defamation again. But unfortunately, the courts did not side with her, and the legal costs put her and her family in debt.
Wait, did you just say her family?
Yeah, because, you know, her husband and her three kids, they had to, like, put up, like, part of the farm. Because, you know, court costs a shit ton of money. I assume it also costs a shit ton of money back then. And she is going to defend herself because her reputation is important to her, which it should be.
Agreed.
So this is the part where Grace's life is kind of taking a little bit of a downturn. One, they're in debt. Two, in 1701, her husband James passes away.
Aww.
She inherited all of their property, you know, because she's the next of kin. But she also lost her biggest supporter. All of these court cases, her husband was right beside her, ready to defend her, being like, yeah, baby, you got it. Like, he was her cheerleader, and now she didn't have that person to back her up.
That sucks, because, you know, if you think about it, a lot of times women got accused of witchcraft when they were single and, like, by themselves kind of thing. But she sounds like this really amazing contributor to the community. And then that sucks that she lost her husband. That is terrible. I hate to hear that.
So in 1706, which was about 5 years later after his death, her neighbor named Elizabeth Hill got into an altercation with her. And Elizabeth was Grace's rival.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not 100% sure why they had this altercation and why they were, like, enemies. Besides that, you know, sometimes there's just people in your town you just don't like, you know?
That unfortunately is a true story, even to this day.
So after this altercation that was, like, I believe it was a pretty physical altercation, Grace takes them to court and accuses Elizabeth and her husband of assault and battery.
Oh.
And in this case, Grace wins.
I love
and
that.
She is awarded 20 whole shillings. So is things are starting to look up. I don't think so. I don't think it's a lot.
Okay. I was like, is that a lot of money? I can't tell if that's a lot of money. So yeah. Okay. Got it.
Well, when I read it, it didn't read like, you know, she got like a windfall or anything. It was like, oh, here's some cash. We're sorry that Elizabeth punched you or whatever.
Okay. I don't love that, but got it. Okay, good.
So the next year, Elizabeth is out for revenge because she didn't like that she had to pay 20 shillings and that her reputation got a little smeared from this.
I can understand that. I mean, I hate to say it, but I can understand it.
So this time, she's thinking about Grace's past, and she decides, I'm going to accuse her of witchcraft, too.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it never worked for anyone else, so I'm not sure why Elizabeth thought this would work for her. But she said that Grace caused her to miscarry.
Well, I guess the stress of it, but I don't know how that's witchcraft.
Yeah, and it's wild that she thinks someone who is, you know, a midwife is going to do something witchy to harm a baby.
Yeah.
It just seems like counterintuitive.
Agreed.
And while all of the cases before this one were dismissed, this one evolved into an actual investigation.
Wow.
The court took this one seriously. And I think it's probably because there was less supernatural evidence. There was a real miscarried fetus that they could see. So there was actual harm that she could point at and be like, Grace did this to me.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it and bizarre, but I get it, right?
But the court had problems with this because they were trying to make a jury panel of all women, which I think is very progressive and great. But a lot of the women in town did not want anything to do with this. They were like, we don't want to get involved. Grace lives here. Elizabeth lives here. it's too close to us and we don't want anything to do with it.
I can kind of understand that. I get why they would say that, because it is definitely something that you're getting into a big mess of. So I get it.
Yeah. And the jury doesn't quite work back then how it works now. So back in those times, the 1600s, 1700s, the jury would kind of do the investigation. Like, they were taken to Grace's house and shown around. They were allowed to physically examine Grace, like strip her naked and look at her.
Okay.
Yeah. But because they originally had so much trouble getting a jury peer that were her peers, this kind of took a long time. There were two or three different jury panels that they set up until they finally recruited a panel that it consisted only of old women. Because the old women, you know, they're not worried about the drama in the town after this. They're older. They're at the point where that stuff doesn't bother them anymore.
Okay.
But one of the women who was on this panel was one who accused Grace of witchcraft earlier on.
Okay.
And I believe it's the one who, the cat and the whipping. I think it was that lady.
Oh, well, that's going to be not great for Grace.
Yeah. And funnily enough, this woman was also named Elizabeth. So there's Elizabeth's afoot, and they are gunning for Grace.
Got it.
So they did their physical examination of Grace, and they found what they called witch's marks. And they found two. And those marks are supposed to mark you as like a supplicant of the devil. But it's not like in The Omen, you know, where he has like the 666 in his hair or whatever on his scalp. These are more like normal things, like having an extra nipple or having a skin lesion, you know, things that people just have.
No, absolutely. This does not sound good at all.
And I was wondering, I was like, why the nipple? Because, you know, that seems weird. But it's because witches are said to use that extra nipple to like feed their familiar. Like a black cat, they feed it from their own bodies like their own children.
Oh, okay. Weird.
But the court decided, even though there was these two witches' marks, they were not enough to prove anything. It just made the case suspicious enough to move forward to be an actual case.
Okay.
So they decided, we're going to gather more evidence. They ordered a ducking.
What is that?
You'd think it'd be called a dunking, but it's not. Oh. It's a ducking. So as I read this, I kept like, you know, adding an N in my head to be dunking because it makes sense of what it is. Ducking was only used in Virginia one time, and it was for this case. And a ducking goes like this. The accused is taken to a river or a body of water, and if they sink, they are pure. If they float, they are so unclean, the water doesn't want them, and they are essentially a witch.
Okay, so there is a tremendously amazing Monty Python skit about this. And I'm just going to, you know, if she weighs the same as a duck, she's therefore a witch. So the ducking, and I think it's hysterical because if you get a chance, Monty Python, the Holy Grail, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. There is a hysterical scene where they're trying a witch and they talk about this and how she turned into a newt. And the only reason I bring this all up is because I met John Cleese at Dragon Con, and what he wrote on the thing I had him sign was, I got better. And that's the line he says when the witch, after they try to dunk her, he says he turned him into a newt, and they go, turned you into a newt? And he goes, I got better. you know, one of the things too is I think Anne Boleyn supposedly had a sixth finger and a third nipple. So she'd be double whammied with Erica into the being a witch.
So they go to Lynn Haven River, which is close to this area. And to do the ducking, her right thumb was bound to her left toe, and her left thumb was bound to her right toe. So essentially, okay, her arms are crossed over her body, and she's kind of in a ball, so that her fingers and toes are lashed together. She was put inside of a sack, and a 13-pound Bible was put around her neck.
Wow.
So basically, they're trying to get her to sink. You'd think you'd sink no matter what, because, you know, you're not going to be able to swim. And bodies are weighed down until you die, and then they float back up. But Grace panicked as soon as she was ducked underwater, which, you know, valid, makes sense. I would also be upset. And so she escaped from the sack, escaped from her bindings, and swam ashore. But unfortunately, this assured that everyone saw her as a witch, because she got out of the water, and thus the water saw her as unclean, even though she got out on her own, like, way, and not because the water pushed her out. And unfortunately, this was enough for them to be like, witch! And she was spent 8 years in jail.
Wow. So she wasn't killed for it, right?
No, because there is no executions due to witchcraft in Virginia.
Got it. Okay. 8 years in jail, which absolutely doesn't help her family situation, since she doesn't have a husband anymore.
And they would not release her until she paid all back taxes on her property, which took 8 years.
Wow.
So if she couldn't pay that, she probably would have been there perpetually until her death.
Yikes. Yikes.
So then she finally, you know, is released, goes back to the farm, and lives there until she is 80. And then she passes away.
That is a really long lifespan.
So this is where we kind of get into more modern times.
Okay.
And on the 300th anniversary of her conviction, Governor Tim Kaine granted her an informal pardon. So she is now no longer accused of witchcraft, and she is just a nice lady again.
I guess, but I mean, she was dead at that time, right?
Yeah, so she had no knowledge of this, but I guess it's nice. It's a nice thing to do.
Yes.
They also erected a statue of her near Santara Bayside Hospital, because it was close to the site of the old colonial courthouse.
Okay.
But I think because she was, you know, a healer and a midwife, she would get a kick out of her statue being so close to a modern day hospital, where if, you know, she was alive now, she'd probably work at one.
Yes. No, I agree. I like it. Okay. But I thought there was part of this goes into a ghost story.
We're getting there. All right, so her statue is holding a basket, and in the basket is garlic and rosemary in recognition of her knowledge of herbal healing.
Okay.
There's also a raccoon, and it's for her love of animals. But as our wonderful Mark Muncie told me, people now look at that raccoon and be like, oh, it's that was her familiar. When she was a witch, her familiar was a raccoon. Which, if I was going to have a familiar, I would also pick one with opposable thumbs, you know?
That's what I was just thinking. I mean, normally it's like a bat, a wolf, a cat. Like, that's what you normally hear. Or a crow or a raven. You know, crows and ravens are really smart birds. So I will give some credence, and they do have little claws. But if I was going to pick a familiar... And I know, like, right now we're reading again The Night in Lonesome October, so we're doing updates. Carrie's helping to do updates on that, but and they have a dog and a cat and a snake and all this stuff. We went through it last year, had a lot of fun with it, but I think I'd choose a raccoon too. I'm on board with this as my familiar, and I would name him Sebastian. My raccoon Sebastian, so I could go, Sebastian, bring me my cake. And then he could bring me my cape.
I think I would name mine James. Just seems like a good raccoon name.
James and Sebastian.
Best friends. So, like you mentioned, there is a little bit of a ghost story attached. It's not a very detailed ghost story.
Okay.
But there is one. So in July, a lot of people, like yearly in July, a lot of people report that there's a light over the bay where she was ducked. And they are assume that's like her restless spirit wandering around the time she was ducked. And what's interesting about that place is they changed the name to name it after her. So the bay where she was dunked in the river is now called Witch Duck Bay because she was a witch, accused witch, and she was ducked Witch Duck.
I like
it. And I feel like a lot of places have this name, and I never knew why. And now
I love that that is something we're doing. Also, I just want to point out that Carrie would probably have a possum familiar. So we'd have her.
Oh, yeah, she definitely would.
I mean, I love possums, too. So she kind of called me out on that one. But I'm not going to lie. The little raccoon masks has got me excited about having a raccoon thing. So, okay, skipping back to that. So Witch Ducking Bay. I like it. Okay.
Witch Duck Bay. And there's a lot of things at Virginia Beach now that are named after her, which I think is really nice. There's a road called Witch Duck Road. There is also a lane called Sherwood Lane, and Sherwood was her last name. And all of the residents of Virginia Beach think that all of the rosemary planted throughout town came from a plant that she propagated in the area. So every piece of rosemary is because of Grace, which I think is really sweet. And all I have left is a little quote from our friend Grace.
Okay.
And I was happy to find, you know, a reference to her own words because a lot of this is.
Before you do this quote, what have people seen as far as the ghost part of this? Because I thought I could have sworn Mark had mentioned when we got a chance to chat with him on this that the raccoon familiar has been seen.
I don't have where the raccoon is seen. I don't know if it's seen around her statue, if it's seen around her bay, but I know about the lights, that they see those lights bobbing around in the bay every July.
I love that that just happened. Going to say that. Absolutely love it because I think that's so cute. And I guess, I think Mark had said that the raccoon is seen missing from her statue and along the river. So maybe he's out there looking for her.
Oh, that's kind of nice. He's like a little gargoyle and he goes looking for her. See, so cute.
Nailing this whole raccoon familiar. So what is your
quote? He's such a good familiar.
What is your quote?
So she was asked to repent for being a witch at her trial. And instead of repenting, she said, "I be not a witch, I be a healer." Because she was going to stand her ground till the end. Even if she had to spend time in jail or have to countersue somebody again, she was very sure of who she was and what her job in the town was and did not care that people didn't like her. She was Grace till the end.
Okay, this woman is a badass, and I love everything about her. So, travelers, obviously, me and Bo are going to have to take some precautions when going to see this site and see these things so that we don't have too many fines for our vulgarity, because we are definitely going to have to practice before we get there. Carrie won't be so bad, so maybe we'll let her do all the talking for us. But I will say, you know, I did a little clickety-clacking while you were talking about some of these things. So I wanted to also cover, besides profanity, some of the very dumb laws that are still existing on the books in Virginia Beach. So Virginia Beach, I love you, but maybe a cleanup of some of these laws. Did you know that riding on the handlebars of a bicycle is illegal there?
Well, I guess we won't get arrested for that because I don't think either of us could ride on the handlebars of a bike without.
I don't know. I think your girls are underestimating my willingness to do dumb things. driving by the same place. within 30 minutes on Atlantic Avenue. So don't go looking for parking spaces back and forth, because that is
possible.
And then here's the number one rule. So there's carrying certain canes or walking sticks is against the law. So I want to know how they define which ones are and are not against the law, because Mark and Carrie have a lot of walking canes. So that might be where Carrie gets in trouble.
I think Gary's going to get in trouble, because that one she has could be a bludgeon.
It could be. And then finally, Virginia Beach, pay attention to what I'm saying here, my friends. Bathtubs must be in the yard and not in the house. I want to see where this law is still in place. I want to drive by the bathtubs in the yards. That's what I want.
As someone who has been to Virginia Beach a lot, I never, ever, 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 ever saw a bathtub in the yard. So everyone needs to be fined, because if we're going to get fined for saying a naughty word, they should get fined for not bathing in the yard.
So travelers, West Virginia, Virginia Beach, I'm just going to say, I know we can find these laws in other places, and I'm sure we will as we do more episodes, but get your crap together. Grace, you are an inspiration, my friend, if you're listening. And as a spirit, I would love to meet you, because I don't feel like we'd have vengeance ghosts. I do feel like her and our lovely friend Screaming Jenny probably get along beautifully in the afterlife. So I think that, you know, amazingness. And with that, Bo, what are your wrap-up thoughts?
I think that you should always stand by your beliefs that you are not a witch and you are not going to jail for someone else's BS.
I love that. So travelers, you're listening out there, a couple things. One, Virginia had so many witches that they actually had more than Salem over time, although Salem is one of the best places you can go visit. So make sure as you're traveling,
but don't go for Halloween, because it's very crowded.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's any other time.
Halloween. But so here are things, travelers, that I want you to remember. One, it is so very important that you do spend time violating all the rules which would get you accused of witches, because I think every single one of us should try to model ourselves like Grace. But stay out of the busy crowds for Mothman and Salem and places like that at Halloween, and go visit them when you're not in those situations. Remember to choose the perfect familiar for yourself, because we could make a list of fun creatures, but travelers, we'd love to hear what yours are. And last but not least, obviously, try to model yourselves after Erica and Bo, but avoid the fines. And with that, we will see you on the other side.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.